así.
4K. Fantasy. It's a war. It's a war.
Of the year, like I'd like to just throw out some stuff. Like, this is like some really great stuff because I can't really make a decision on what's best, what's worst.
I absolutely did.
I know. Well, you're the get on the microphone because you're going to be fading in and out.
I absolutely did. Is that better?
Yeah, better. I was. I just can't handle it.
Handle what?
I like making like a decision. Like, this was the best thing of the year because my best thing is nowhere near like what the best thing is. My best thing is always like, you know what I really like. I really like this paint. This was the best thing that happened to me.
No. That's why you don't have a total best. You have a best of each category.
You know what the best thing was for me? The liquid green stuff that came out. Love that shit.
Your liquid green stuff's pretty sweet.
Liquid green stuff is the best fucking thing that happened in this hobby.
It's the only Games Workshop product that I will touch.
Oh, and the paint on primer is really nice. The paint on black primer. Really love it.
That's been around for a really long time.
Well, it was white. They never really had it for the GW, at least, what I'm saying.
Oh.
Like, I know you could get it in other places, but I, you know.
Okay, it's always funny when there's a new innovation from Games Workshop that's a very, yeah, very old product.
I mean, yeah, well, I mean, liquid green stuff's, you know, they've had like liquid filler for a while, but anyway. So did you see The Hobbit yet?
Yes, I did.
Did you like it?
I thought it was great.
I thought it was fucking phenomenal.
Yeah, it was super good.
I don't know
good.
What the fuck people are talking
about.
Yeah,
because I first heard like, oh, it's bad, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, oh, shit. This is gonna be awful if this is bad. But it was fucking great. It was better. It was, actually, the fact that people told me that it was gonna be bad, I was prepared for like, this movie's gonna suck. Fuck. And then I saw it and I was like, oh, so good.
Did you see it 3D?
I did not. I saw it in 24 FPS.
Oh, see, I did too. And I think I'm gonna go see it again, but I want to see it in 3D with the 48.
Yeah, I think I'd like to do that too.
Just for the hell of it. I mean, people are talking about it, so I want to go see it. No, I loved it. I was just like, this is exactly the way an adventure kind of gamey movie needs to be. And I think from a gaming perspective, a guy who plays, you know, RPGs, tabletop, that was exactly what I wanted. It was a lot of adventure. Yes, there was a lot of walking. People,
it was actually like, yeah, there wasn't that much walking. There was a few scenes where they were talking, yeah, but most time it was like battle to chase scene to escape to battle. It was really good. Yeah. I liked it a lot.
They got a little ridiculous towards the end where it was like epic battle, then run away, then epic battle, then run away, then epic battle,
well,
then
I mean,
run away.
It kind of makes sense if you're a party of, you know, 14 dudes, 15 yeah, dudes against hordes and hordes of enemies.
Yeah. You could see them leveling up as they took out each individual goblin.
It's like, oh, they also found treasure. Like, swords. Better swords.
Better swords.
Yeah. And I also really liked that all of the main antagonists in it spoke. They all had dialogue.
Yeah, they all, and they also, you know, it was weird. Like, some of them spoke English, some of them spoke, you know, orcish.
Yeah, but I thought it was really cool because in the entire three Lord of the Rings movies, the only villains who talk, I'm not giving Sauron a credit because he's like, I see you. Doesn't count.
I see you.
Yeah,
doesn't
Frodo
count.
Baggins. But it, you know, all of the big bad enemies don't really talk. There's like, Gothmog barely says anything, and I guess it's not so much that they don't talk because like Gothmog yells at his, you know, minions and cronies, yeah, and stuff. But
Lurtz barely says anything.
But the thing is, they talk to the party.
That mini boss. Yeah.
They talk to the party. So the Goblin King, he's talking to them.
And the Goblin King wasn't even really that big of a like antagonist. Like
he was just awesome.
He was just like.
By the way, there's slight spoilers for The Hobbit if you've never read it.
You know what? If you're listening to a podcast on gaming and you never read The Hobbit or Lord of the Rings for that matter, go fuck yourself.
Yeah, there's a few things that I would consider spoilers, actual spoilers, even for people who are fans of The Hobbit because there are scenes in the movie that aren't in the book.
Oh, God. And that was the best part, too, is all
a bunch
the stuff,
of those are really, really cool.
All the stuff they
those pull, I won't actually spoil.
Pull for the unfinished tales and the Silmarillion, all that. Fucking fantastic.
Yeah, it was very good. I, I, I'm very excited about the next movie, and I can't wait to see Benedict Cumberbatch as a dragon.
Yes. Well, I don't think he's actually going to be a dragon. It's not going to be, you know, Sherlock Holmes with dragon wings and like a fucking furry outfit.
I'm pretty sure it's going to be Sherlock Holmes with dragon wings.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He might even have the Sherlock cap as well.
Like, fuck you, I'm a dragon.
Yeah. And then he might have the chain gun that he's using in the Star Trek trailer as well.
Ah, yes.
He'll have that in his talons.
Yes. So let me ask you.
J.J. Abrams was on some fucking chalk show. And they're trying to talk to him about the Star Trek movie, and he's like, I didn't make that movie. I don't know what you're talking about. He literally would not. He just denied having anything to do with the movie.
Yeah.
He's like,
I would too.
They didn't even make that movie.
I loved it.
Let me ask. This is the new one.
Yeah, I know. Let me ask you a question. What did you think of Radagast? That seems to be like the thing that's like really either turning people on or off of the movie.
Really?
I shouldn't say turning it on, but the one thing that turns them off of the
I loved his poopy hair.
You love the poopy hair? People just thought he was, like, weird. Like, he was, like, the Jar Jar of the movie. And I didn't... I like Sylvester McCoy.
I mean, he's definitely weird.
Yeah.
But he's not fucking Jar... Who fucking called him Jar Jar?
Oh, who was it?
I will fight them. I will fist fight them.
Yeah, we will do...
They will come to my
house... Man-style fisticuffs.
They will come to my house, and we will have man-style fisticuffs. And then at the end, regardless of who wins, we'll have a beer. But fucking fist fight. I will fight them.
I can't remember who said... I must have read it. I think that's where I... Not on Reddit, but I think I read it somewhere on the internet.
That's fucking awful.
Yeah.
That's fucking awful.
They were calling him the Jar Jar of the movie, and I didn't think so at all. I was like, that's kind of how I would expect him to be.
Yeah, he's a fucking weird nature dude. He doesn't interact with people. He sits in the forest and talks to animals.
He helps his hedgehog.
Yeah, it's fucking awesome hedgehog.
What was the hedgehog's name? Like Reginald or something?
I don't remember,
like
but there were a bunch of them. And I was like, yeah, hedgehogs. And then it was
his crazy rabbit sled.
His rabbit sled was like, these are Gargolian hares. I'd like to see them try. Like, yes! He's on a fucking sled with rabbits!
Which is very... It's very fantasy-esque. It's very, you know, Dungeons and Dragons-esque. Like, something
for
you'd
sure.
be like, yeah! Fuck yeah.
Yeah, super awesome. I thought the movie was great.
Goblin Town. There's fucking levels.
Blight Town. It's so funny. I text one of my friends. There's a part in Dark Souls called Blight Town, and it's like it gets really, really choppy on the Xbox. Like the Xbox can't handle it. Processing power, so it's choppy as shit. It's hard to play. And I texted my friend, I'm like, I can't believe they got 48 FPS in Blight Town. And he's like, fuck, it doesn't look exactly like Blight Town.
I think that... You know, and it made a lot of money so far. I mean, it's already made like 90 million in its first weekend.
All right, there's no question it's going to be a financial success.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to... I hope it does incredibly well, because I want to support... I would like that to see stuff like that continue. It was really good.
A new Willow?
Da-da-da. Oh, God, I love the Misty Mountain song. Never thought it would be that good. Like, in the trailers, you see, like,
oh, yeah. That song like, was sweet.
And I was just like, and they kept on bringing it back, like, that was the dwarf theme.
I also really like the song they sing in Bilbo's house. Like, that's what Bilbo Baggins hates. Fucking throwing plates around.
I love the little nods to, like, the previous movie. Like, I think Gandalf says, home is behind, the world's ahead, you know? It's just like, oh, that's what fucking Pippin sings in fucking Gondor, you know? And then my favorite part was that when in the original Lord of the Rings movies, in the first one, Fellowship, when they go over the mountain, that's when the dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun plays like the first full heroic theme plays. And the same thing happens in this movie. They go over the mountain and they play the dwarf theme like in Top Blast. And I was like, hey, Chris, my buddy Chris is next to me. I'm poking him in the ribs going, did you see what they just did? Did you see that? And he's like, yes, Joe, I saw that.
Yeah, I saw it, Joe.
I'm like all giddy. I got my like dancing in my seat.
Yeah. I liked it a lot. It was definitely a yes on a scale of 1 to 10. We're giving it a yes.
And we were discussing this a little earlier. I think in terms of the Eagles, like everyone always like, why don't they just take the fucking Eagles to Mount Doom? You know, why don't they just take the Eagles to the Lonely Mountain? It's because I think the Eagles are like Spider-Man in that Family Guy episode.
You only get one.
You only get one.
But Gandalf gets a bunch.
No. The first one was for Frodo.
Oh.
The first one was for Bilbo, and the second one's for Frodo. Not necessarily Gandalf.
Ah, they each only get one. Okay.
Yeah. You only get one.
There actually is a they. They do explain the eagles in, I think, in the books.
Who the fuck cares?
Well, no, there's actually, like, a legit reason why they can't just, like, take them. Not to mention the whole thing. The other thing is, especially Mount Doom, regardless of the eagles in this movie, especially in Fellowship, it's like, oh yeah, they could just fly it right to Mount Doom. Sure, because, you know, ringwraiths don't ride giant flying monsters. Well, and sure they certainly don't fly around Mount Doom.
I'm sure the eagles had a legitimate excuse. I'm sure they were like, dude, I got to pick up my kid from daycare. And then I got to go to the store and get dinner because my wife didn't get dinner. And I got to go get something.
Well, I mean,
and
the eagles are cool, but they're not going to beat a fucking whatever the fuck
they did. They beat a couple of them.
The ringwraiths?
Yeah, they did.
On the fucking abyssal things?
Yeah.
No.
The abyssal things.
Whatever the fuck they are.
Fell beasts, man.
Fell beasts, whatever.
Ah!
That's not the noise they make.
Yeah, they... No, that's the sound the eagles make.
Oh. Awesome. The fell beasts.
No, they took out a couple of them at the end of Fellowship. At the end of Return of the King.
Nope.
Yeah. They like one or two of them take one out.
Nope.
Okay.
Didn't happen.
Pixar didn't happen.
Pixar didn't happen. I want screenshots.
All right, so anyway, after 10 minutes into this episode, I might as well say, welcome to Game Class Year-End Review Arby's Special Spectacular.
I'd like to call it the besties and worsties.
The besties and worsties.
My bestie.
I am Joe, and with me, as always, is the Owen to my Glowin, the Keely to my Feely, the Beefer and Boffer to my Bomber, and once again, the Sam to my Frodo, Steve.
You just made up a whole bunch of fucking words.
Mr. Frodo!
Share the load.
Strawberries and cream.
Well, the best thing
is... Rosy cotton.
If you think about... I was talking with Joe, and another Joe. Not other Joe. There's too many Joes for it to just be other Joe. And we were talking about doing a hilarious Lord of the Rings porno parody. And
what happens when the rock stays on the rock?
The hobbits are all banging each other, and at one point, Frodo starts busting, and Sam's like, "Shh!" Or no. Merry and Pippin start busting, and Sam goes, "Share the load" in slow mo, like he does in the movie, and then Merry turns over and starts busting on Frodo's chest, and then Frodo kind of like wiggling. He's like,
why would anybody
such a burden?
Why would anybody want to watch a gay porn with?
It wouldn't just be gay.
Well, I mean, if you're gonna have four guys having sex, that's pretty gay, Steve.
Well, that scene's gay. It's gonna be everything. It'll be the first everybody porno. They've never made one. As far as I know, there is no porno that is everybody.
Well, you know what?
I believe in equal opportunity.
Noble ambitions,
for
Steve.
Porno.
Noble ambitions.
I think porno should be for everyone.
All right. Well, let's actually get to some gaming stuff, shall we? After 12 minutes into the podcast, not actually talking about gaming. Big news so far. The big Warhammer news is Dark Angel stuff all got leaked.
Gay as shit.
I'm sorry. Anyway, so the Dark Angels got released for at least the preview picks, because... Here in America, we're not getting any of our new White Dwarfs until next month because of Hurricane Sandy. The Pecan Sandy took out the warehouse. But luckily, Dutch Games Workshop released...
Dutch.
The Dutch. Games with GW Netherlands.
I'm just going to throw it out there. I mean, if you play 40K, you're already a douche. But if you play Dark Angels...
Well, anyway, to the people who actually play this game... Because, you know, the majority of people who play tabletop games play 40K. And if you have not seen it, I'm sure if you have some sort of presence on the internet, you've already seen the pics and everything released. The figures I'm actually really impressed with. With one exception, I think every figure that's getting released is an excellent sculpt.
They look like Space Marines.
They do, but the sculpts are really nice on them. I'm talking, like, to the fact of... And the prices aren't... terrible in comparison to like last month's release, which was Lord of the Rings, The Hobbit. I was actually one little small complaint about that before. I'm not going to talk anymore about The Hobbit minigame because I know how you feel about The Hobbit minigame. But the trolls that were released, the three trolls from the movie, which were, it was an awesome scene because they all had Cockney accents, of course. I didn't expect them to talk, and they did.
No, they talked in the
book. Well, I know they talked in the book, but I didn't expect them to do that in the movie.
Oh. Yeah.
It was a pleasant
surprise for you?
Yeah, it was a surprise for me. But the figures are plastic. I thought they'd be, you know, fine cast or anything like that. They're plastic, and it's three of them, and it's still an $85 box set.
What?
Exactly. I think that they're just trying to recoup the cost because of how expensive it is to put out plastic. But I'm like, well, why don't you just do fine cast?
Because then at that point, it would have been $85, and people would have been like, Well, it's fucking $85. Fine cast.
Well, I mean, the people are going to buy it regardless because of the because the Lord of the Rings. Because I kept texting
because, like,
yesterday.
Anything Lord of the Rings, highly collectible. Yeah, and that, the Space Marine Dark Angels Land Speeder is so stupid.
That was
so bad.
That's the only one I have issue it's with. So I dumb. Really like the flyer.
That's just the regular Marine flyer, except it's got a Dark Angel wing thing.
Yeah, I really like that. I thought that I think it's the Dark Talon or something like that. The Vengeance at Dark Shroud are the speeder with that weird pivot thing.
Yeah,
in the
they
front.
Look so stupid.
They look weird. I'm not a big fan of it.
They look like the land speeder from Star Wars that Luke drives to Tosh's station to pick up some power converters.
Yeah, it's weird. It's a little weird. I'm not quite sure. I'll look at it up front. I'll look at it up close. Who knows? Maybe it actually looks really good and it's just photographed really bad. But anyway, Deathwing all looks great. I think really nicely detailed, nicely sculpted Deathwing Command. The Deathwing Knights are apparently in the rule set incredibly busted.
Oh, they're a new Space Marine army. Oh my god, they're broken. Much to the surprise of should be no one.
Yeah. That's absolutely true. If it's the new book, it's the new hotness.
Well, it's not just the new book, it's the new
Space Marine book. Yeah. Or maybe it's a Nephilim fighter or something like that. But anyway, I really like it because it takes the Storm Talon or whatever it is, what's the little one called? The little piece of shit Space Marine flyer.
The
new one, though, the all Space Marine one, not just the
little helicopter? I think that's the Storm Talon.
Is it the Storm Talon?
I think so.
Oh, anyway, whatever it is, it's that they actually put wings on it, so it actually looks like a flyer instead of like a flying
brick. Yeah, it's
that
with big Dark Angel wings on it, right?
I like that. I think that's cool.
It looks better.
I think it does, too.
I think it's still bad, but it looks better.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a big surprise to anyone that the Dark Angels got released. That was a rumor for a long-ass time.
Well, they're in the starter set, too.
Yeah, and they are in the starter set, so it makes sense.
Usually the releases always go those two starter set armies. I don't think they've ever not.
Yeah. I mean, and it's...
Did High Elves get a... That's the one thing... You know, that's the one thing I don't know.
High Elves did not.
For the Island of Blood? There was no...
No, High Elves and... Actually, High Elves and Skaven never got released after Island of Blood. It was all pre-Island of Blood.
That's true.
Island of Blood. The Skaven were right before then, right before...
Yeah, so a release for them wouldn't have made any sense.
No.
Because they were the last codex of their edition.
Yeah. Get on the mic, by the way. You're not really on it. You're like leaning to the...
I'm still fucking terrified of breathing in this microphone.
Breathing in the mic. But the High Elves, well, that's part of what I was going to get into next. If for anybody else who's interested in the Warhammer, I know Steve likes to complain about it, but there is the rumored release schedule is out right now. And this month is Dark Angels. February is going to be Demons for Fantasy. April is High Elves. May is Tau. July, Lizardmen. August is the big mystery box, you know, like Dreadfleet or whatever the hell.
Probably in other words, continue to be fucked, Bretonian players and Wood Elf players.
Pretty much.
Eat shit.
And Dwarf players.
Yeah, Dwarves too.
And then Eldar in November, which the only problem I have with this was released on Bell of Lost Souls and it made its way across the internet. My only issue with it is there's no other Space Marine release. Usually there's a Space Marine or an Imperium release in between, the 40Ks. You know, if it's between, like, Tau and Eldar, there should be a Space Marine release in the middle there somewhere. And I've been hearing rumors about Dwarves, so who knows? Somewhere on there, whatever. I hope it's Blood Bowl in the Mystery Box. That'd be cool to get an update.
That's what I keep hearing. Yeah. I keep hearing it's Blood Bowl.
I like Blood Bowl. I know you don't like Blood Bowl. You think it's too chaotic.
I think it's too random.
Random. Yeah. And the other release is the Forge World's putting out the Voss Pattern Lightning, $125. It's just replacing the old standard one. This one just looks like the newer style speeders with the swoop down wings.
Also, I know it's super popular, but I don't really get the whole, like, fantasy sports game.
Oh, we're back at Blood Bowl.
I had to think about it. Like, really? I don't get it. I don't get, like, the dwarves and elves playing football. It doesn't gel.
Rugby, you mean?
Whatever. It's fucking football, rugby, whatever.
I don't play sports. I don't get it either. But I think it's one of those things that bridges the gap between, like, people who are normal and people like us. You know,
people who are normal are never going to play Blood Bowl.
Yeah, but no, I'm talking like people who play our games, but, you know, are more sociable when it comes to sports. Where I'm just like, really? This sounds a little gay to me.
I bet. I bet one of my coworkers, some football game was being played. The Raiders were battling someone, and he's like, I'm betting on the Raiders. He's like, the Raiders are going to win, and everyone else is starting like, oh, you're an idiot for taking the bet. And I was like, I bet you lunch that the Raiders will be defeated by their foe. and he's like, all right, I'll take that bet. And they totally lost the game, and they won by 20, or the other team won by 26 points. So now I've declared that I have 26 victory points. and I said, anytime I bet you on anything, every time, whatever the score is, I'm adding it to my total of victory points.
Well, that's what you should do. You should watch football. Like, be a troll, and when you're like, your friends are watching football or something, you should be like, all right, so they've scored these points. Now, how many victory points do they get for achieving objectives?
Yeah, what's the objective?
What are the hidden objectives? Yeah. How do we know what's the hidden? Do they reveal it at the end of the game what the hidden objectives are? Or
I like that.
What time is this game taking place? 8 o'clock? Oh, so they're playing Night Fight?
Is there special rules?
What are the special rules?
Yeah. I thought that was funny.
The Nye Giants.
The Nye Giants.
America's team.
I just broke this pen.
Excellent. Well, anyway, so let's get into our little bit of the end of the year celebration.
I knew you were going to talk about the Dark Angels, too, and I was like, damn it, he's going to talk about
it. Well, of course I am. It's the big release.
They're not big. They're Dark Angels. I hate them.
You hate everything, Games Workshop. We're not going to...
Except for Liquid Green stuff. I fully support and endorse Liquid Green stuff.
I think, you know, being an armchair psychoanalyst, I'm just going to say, I think all your hatred for GW ends up with the Tomb Kings. I think it just all comes back to your Tomb Kings.
It might. It might. I don't know.
We should talk before the end of the year. Spectacular. We did get actually messaged by the guy who's doing
Adam Poots, Kingdom Death.
Kingdom Death.
I went all fangirl when I saw that.
You did. He said, a fan just sent over the podcast. Thank you so much for all the kind words. I can't wait to paint a monster that has a thousand interlocking hands for wings.
That's so fucking sweet.
He likes my joke. There you go.
And I want to see a monster with a thousand interlocking hands for wings. Like, exactly. I'm actually like in on that. Like, that would be awesome.
Yeah, not from Joe. Not for Joe. Too much
all,
flesh
that's
wash.
Fine. All for me.
All for Steve. But anyway, into there.
That Kickstarter is still kicking ass.
It's at 700,000 right now with 15 days left.
He's probably going to crack a million.
You think it's going to take a million? It'd be the first one.
I think he's going to crack a million.
Because yeah. No, none of the gaming ones have hit a million yet.
Well, do you mean like in terms of one that it's an actual game?
At least here,
because Reaper's 3 million, and then Sedition Wars was very close to a million.
Yeah, Sedition Wars was with 900,000 for that. This is a game. I'm not just the mini
okay,
thing.
Okay, so something that's a game attached.
Yeah,
I think he has a good shot at hitting a million. Because the numbers keep going up like in very large increments.
And he keeps putting out cooler and cooler stuff for it.
Yeah, every time there's a new, like that Spidicules, that spider thing.
That thing is the weirdest looking thing I've ever seen.
Awesome. It's so
totally,
cool.
It's totally got Steve written all over it.
It's totally up my alley. I love the fact it has a corpse on the front of it, like an anglerfish. It uses corpses to lure people into its lair.
Yeah.
It's fucking awesome.
It's very bizarre in that fashion. And I like the one he just released, the
Dung Beetle Knight.
Yeah, that was...
His food ball?
I'm not, as I said, you know, his style is not necessarily what I look for in models. It's very Steve, very Dark Souls, very crazy armor and all that fun stuff. But I really like the way the Dung Beetle guy looked.
Yeah,
but that's
awesome.
Because I like Reaper, not Reaper, what am I saying? Confrontation, the what else for Confrontation? They had the Mandalorian Warriors, which were big beetle looking dudes, and I think it kind of fits that aesthetic. I like that.
Sweet. And I like his giant ball with the face on it and the mouth is open up because apparently that's his food ball.
Ah.
And he rolls it around and tries to catch you with the mouth because then you're caught in his food ball and he saves you for later.
His food ball.
Yeah, I thought that it looks really cool.
All right, so Steve, you
and thank you, Adam, for listening to our podcast.
Yeah, thanks for listening. I know he's never going to listen to it again.
Swoon.
But we will, you know, we'll say that we're big fans. I'm a big fan of any sort of, like, what he's doing in Kickstarter. I really like. I like anybody that gives you a deal, so to speak.
Well, then the best thing about him is like his story is really cool. He's totally like independent, just grassrooting his game up from nothing. Very cool.
All right, so I think we're going to start off with we'll do what I say is since we're right there, we'll start off with best Kickstarter of the year. So Steve, what do you think? And now this doesn't have to be necessarily like Well, it's just your opinion. What do you think the best Kickstarter was this year so far for tabletop gaming?
For me, I would say it would be Reaper Bones.
Yeah.
Not saying it was like that. This is not most successful, even though it is.
Yeah.
I'm not judging on that. I'm saying best bang for your buck from any Kickstarter ever. And that's kind of unfair because they're a really big company.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the deal is ridiculous. Very close. And I'd say a close second would be Mantix, Kings of War.
Yeah, you were a big fan of the Kings of War release when it came out. You got a lot of crap from there. You put a lot of money into that one.
Yeah, and I've got more coming too. The new minis.
Up until a few days ago, I was going to say that my favorite one was actually an Indiegogo, which was the Undead Orcs.
Technically, you said Kickstarter.
Technically, I said Kickstarter. Well, do you have one from Indiegogo that's going to replace Reaper?
No.
Okay. Well,
not even close.
There you go. No, I was going to say it was the Undead Orcs from Titanforge.
Titanforge.
However, going through, because I like the idea of sourcing an army through there. Like, okay, so we're gonna do this unit.
I want to do Undead Orcs. Yeah.
Yeah, and so we do one unit. You pay more money. You get another unit. You get paid more money.
Oh, their points system.
No, that was cool. Not necessarily that, but it's like, okay, so if I make this much amount of money, I'm gonna release these units.
Oh, I get what you're saying. Yeah.
You know, so the more money you contributed, the more units you were gonna get to your army. I actually thought that was a really brilliant idea. I thought it was kind of cool. I don't know if it'll take off like that.
The Avatars of War Dwarf Army did that too.
Yeah, Avatars of War did that too. I just like the idea of this was an army that had a very coherent feel to it. It wasn't necessarily like you needed all the figures to play in your army. They would match up with GW stuff fairly well.
Yeah, they look really, very, almost copyright infringing, similar to GW stuff.
But I have to say the Kingdom Death Monster is probably my favorite one so far, just to watch what's happening with it.
See, I can't count that one as for the year because the year will be over.
You know what? It started beforehand. I'm just going to... Unless he like completely screws the pooch on it, like
I would say he has a very good shot of winning my next year's best Kickstarter.
Now there's gonna be so many more next year.
Hey, Kings of War was at the beginning of this year. I'm pretty sure it was early in the year.
Do you have a worst of Kickstarter?
There's too many to list.
There's too many.
Basically, if a bunch of Kickstarters that like failed spectacularly because they looked so bad, those guys are the worst.
I didn't see any that like failed spectacularly.
They're hard to see when you're looking at Kickstarter. The website's very difficult to navigate. Looking through everything, it's very hard.
The Dan Delanois said, "I like it when you guys cover Kickstarter because Kickstarter's search options are so counterintuitive."
Yes, they're balls.
It's terrible. So I guess that's a good thing that we cover it on the podcast so that people will actually find out what's good on Kickstarter. No, my number
one. I'll just say worst Kickstarter. Anything that is a furry game. There's some furry card game, role-playing game, whatever it is. If you put a furry game on Kickstarter, fuck you.
My worst is the Black Ball AEWW2 game, which is also one that's, I think, still currently going on.
Black Ball.
They took over AEWW2, which is a weird war game. We talked about it a little bit. The problem is that everything they're offering is like retail. What's the fucking point? You know, I want to get a deal at Kickstarter. If I'm investing in you and I'm not going to see any returns from my investment, so to speak, because I'm not a true investor, it's not like I'm making a share of the profit. I want something back to incentivize me on this. I mean, it's probably slightly less than what retail would be, but it's not like anything that's going to make me drool over it. Not like Reaper that was just like, here, you want free metal?
Awesome.
You know,
there's so much stuff.
So much.
The best was Reaper just put up a YouTube's video of them. They're unboxing the vampire box and they just do a camera pan of all the minis laid out that you get in the box. It was like, oh holy shit.
All right. So many. Let's move on to the best product of the year.
Just all around product of the year.
Okay, let's
that's
very
hard.
We'll do that one at the end. Okay. Let's do here's a good one. How about the most WTF moment in gaming this year?
I really don't have any. That was you asked me that and I was just like,
I got a couple.
I got nothing.
I got a couple. My number one is, of course, Games Workshop moving Games Day to Memphis, Tennessee this year. That was the one moment where I legitimately said, what the fuck? Memphis? I'll agree with that. That's pretty bad. Okay, now let me put this out there for you. Games Workshop moves their convention from Chicago, which is the third largest city in America, to Memphis, Tennessee, which people are leaving in droves, mainly because it's like Mad Max down there. I literally think I saw Lord Humongous on their Welcome to Memphis video.
Just walk away. We don't want your lives. We just want the fuel. Just walk away.
Well, I think Dan Downwell will be going there. He'll be like the gyrocopter pilot.
He looks like him. He looks like that guy.
The mouth of Sauron. It's the mouth of the guy. Same guy plays the mouth of Sauron.
Just pedaling really hard.
He's pedaling away.
I sure hope Bendis is there. Yeah, well, I mean, the last games I went to was pretty dog shit.
Well, so, they don't do anything really there. But
I don't think I'll be going to another one ever.
Yeah. I mean, and you know what's another... and my second one, my second WTF moment of the year was actually a positive one. That's my worst of... This is my best WTF moment. Was when Fantasy Flight announced that they had the Star Wars license. And they showed all of their games at Gen Con.
I guess that wasn't a huge surprise for me. So I was...
Well, I mean, it was a surprise for me because I was like, you know, what the fuck? Star Wars? Really? They're going to devote almost the entire year's worth of releases to Star Wars. And for me, Star Wars has been nothing but bullshit, you know, forever, as we've talked about on this podcast. It still is in many ways. So they put out three games. They put out their mini game, X-Wing. They put out their card game, their living card game. And then they put out
that
their
just came out this week.
Yeah. And they put out the role-playing game. And so far, the buzz has been nothing but positive on all three games. X-Wing selling gangbusters.
Well, people still like Star Wars because they have no taste.
But I mean, even still, it's like it's not that it's people are buying it just to buy it. People are buying it because they're good products.
Yeah, I can't say that they're not good games. If they did not have the Star Wars license, I would probably be looking at them.
Yeah.
If they were in Twilight Imperium, for example, if it was the Twilight Imperium world, I might be like, oh, those are cool.
I mean,
Of course, I don't believe they'd be as successful if they didn't have the
Star Wars attached to it. But I think that's part of what the surprise is. I mean, even their role-playing game, what is it called? Edge of the Empire?
Edge of the Empire. They just released the beginner box this week.
Yeah. Even that is getting really good reviews.
Fantasy Flight's role-playing games are good. The difference between Star Wars and their other RPGs is because it's Star Wars, people are more likely to try it.
Yeah.
Because all of the Fantasy Flight... I'll tell you this. Every Fantasy Flight RPG... is good. They're not perfect, but all of them, including like all the 40K ones, they're good. The fantasy one is good.
Yeah, they're role playing games. They're good IP. I mean, they have IP that people want to play in.
Yes and no. You'd be surprised. It's kind of surprised how little people are actually interested in RP. And RPing in 40K seems really, really terrible. But
You got to roll up a new character every.
Well, then it's just like it seems stupid. It's like you could be a guardsman. Cool. Like, that seems
You know, some people
awesome.
Get into that sort of thing, though.
I don't see how you can get into it for an RPG. But then again, a lot of RPGs I don't get. Like,
Leverage.
The RPG.
I was just about to say Leverage. They brought that up on the Retro Game Review.
Leverage?
Yeah.
Nice. I listened to it. I didn't hear him bring that up.
Well, there you go. See that?
I missed it.
Joe listens.
Well, I had to listen
Steve's
to it at
just
work.
A casual.
I had to listen. I am just a casual listener. I was like listening to hear if they'll mention any of my digs I take at them on their little on the comment section.
All right.
I'm always listening. I'm like, eh? My crowning achievement moment was when Pat was talking about how he has different groups of friends who like different games, and he's like, and this group, blah blah blah, and then I got. The game classy guys, Joe and Steve, and the other guy on Pants Podcast is like, I don't want to go with that group. And I was like, yes, yes, yes.
We're creepy.
I'm sitting under my bridge, like.
All right, so let's crack it down. I'm gonna go. Let's go with best worst RPG for you, Steve.
Best RPG.
This is something I'm gonna abstain from because I really don't have like an. I don't play RPGs that often enough to have an opinion on this. So let's Steve.
I will say best is Shadows of Asterion.
Which they you've talked about this podcast a lot. Another Kickstarter.
They win the award for best RPG of the year for me. Mechanics are solid. They're not the best, but that game is just oozing with background and flavor, and the background is very cool. And it's like, the book is like 400 pages, and 280 of it is background.
Ooh.
It's a lot of fucking background. Very cool. Very flavorful. Like it a lot. Worst RPG? I don't actually... I thought about this for a little while while I was heading home, and I was like, "What was that? What am I gonna pick for worst RPG?" Because usually I'm super fucking opinionated, and I have
I
would say worst is D&D 4th.
D&D 4th. D&D 4th. Still, it just carries over your year.
It just keeps going. Like it's bad. It's and I'll say D&D 4th, especially because they're not being. I guess they kind of had a surprise. Like everyone was expecting the new D&D to be announced, but it was kind of like a surprise. Like D&D Next is coming, and then they just cut off all support for 4th.
Yeah,
and didn't really talk about it. They don't have a concrete release date for Next.
Very bizarre.
It everything about 4th edition is tainted. Like at this point, and I think they're trying to distance themselves from 4th, and they would rather have a void of no products for the system at all because as soon as they announced D&D Next, nobody bought 4th edition at all. Stop buying it. So it doesn't matter if you don't give us a release date, because people are going to stop buying as soon as they hear a new edition is coming. So yeah, big loser continues carrying the torch for another year. Dungeons and Dragons 4th edition.
Woo!
It's still garbage.
All right, so we got that. Let's go on to best board game. I don't know if you play that many board games.
I play a lot of board games, actually.
All right. So what do you consider your best of the year for board games?
Okay. And this is a separate category from boxed card games, just an FYI, or deck building games. I'm just lumping those in with card games. Mm-hmm. Best board game of the year. I'm going to completely cop out of this one, and I'm going to say the best is Descent: Journeys in the Dark 2nd Edition. It's a brand new it is very different than the original. Unfortunately, a game already exists, but the 2nd Edition, it's so much better. The rules are crisper, the miniatures are better. I think the box as a whole, much cooler, better presentation. Descent: Journeys in the Dark 2nd Edition, definitely my win for best of the year.
Now, board game for me is rough, because I play shit ton of board games. And I've had a lot. And a lot of the games I've been playing this year have been released in previous years. So it was kind of rough to come out with a new one.
Do you have a best company?
It's Fantasy Flight.
Yeah, I guess it's kind of stupid.
But that's kind of. No, but what I was going to say is, like, I've had a lot. I really love the Battles of Westeros. I think that I hope that they still continue to promote that game throughout the.
I love your setup. Your painted little man's. Awesome.
I love that. I mean, but the problem is the game mechanics aren't 100% great on that game. So it's like,
well, it uses battle lore, so it's kind of,
which is kind of,
battle lore is pretty shaky.
It's battle lore in name only. Speaking of, I also really enjoyed the 2nd edition of Game of Thrones, the actual board game. A little busy. I kind of like the 1st edition, that it takes out a lot of the bullshit that you don't gotta do in the 2nd edition. But I think I'm gonna have to go with the best game that I've played so far this year is one I just played recently. It's one that kind of just came out of the blue and I didn't think was gonna be good at all. And I think it's the best board game for me because it shocked me how good it was without knowing. Oh, X-Wing also, another good game that came out this year. But it was Spartacus by Gale Force 9.
Oh, yeah. That game's great.
Holy crap, was that game fun. That
game's good.
It was quick. The rules are so simple, but it's complex enough where it's like, oh, I can screw my neighbor, but at the same time, you know, I can make money. It's a great system. Everything works really well with it. If you haven't played it, it's a combination of political intrigue game mixed in with actual mini gaming. I mean, you actually really fight in the game. There's very some fun strategy. Like, you have to know multiple things, do multiple things multiple times. Redman, a friend of ours, introduced it to me just like 2 weeks ago, and I thought it was fucking phenomenal. So if you're looking for a good game, look for that, because Gale Force 9 puts it out. It took us – I played with Dave Max and we at Redman. We took all of 30 seconds to really get it down.
Blood and sand.
Yeah. It took all of one round to get down the rules. I'm like, oh, well, fuck this. I know how to play this goddamn game now. It was great.
It's a good game.
Yeah.
I agree.
So now we're going to go on to...
I've got a worst.
Oh, what's your worst?
And it's not a worst game. I'm actually going to go far and say worst company of the year, the creators of Settlers of Catan, Mayfair Games, because they went to an exclusive distributorship deal with Alliance, which means less hobby stores will be able to acquire their product. Also, they have massive exclusivity deals with Target, so they've released Settlers and all their other games to Target for massively reduced prices that hobby stores can't compete with. And the Star Trek Settlers game, They have a Target exclusive for like 2 years or something. That game will only be available at Targets. So Mayfair Games gave the middle finger to the hobby stores, the specialty shops that supported them and helped them get a foothold in this country.
Yeah.
And helped them build their business into what it is today. Huge.
Create one of the most successful Euro games in America.
Yeah. Like, and they owed that all to small hobby stores.
Selling their stuff.
Selling their stuff. And they just, they fucked them. They're like, they basically looked at them. They said, thanks for all the help, but why don't you eat shit and die now? So Mayfair Games... This is from me to
we
you.
We can't really say that that's what they said, this but we're just assuming.
Mayfair Games, this is from me to you. Fuck yourselves.
Well, there you go. I don't really have a worst of. I've nothing that visceral. I think one of the worst things, it was actually debuted last year at Gen Con. Not this year, but last year at Gen Con. But I think it may have been released this year. Or if it was, it was the tail end of last year. And that's Fantasy Flight's Gears of War game.
Oh, God. That was I think that was 2011.
That was.
But, oh, man.
It had to be the tail end, though. It had to be.
Because that was Gen Con last year, wasn't
it? Yeah, that's where they debuted it.
Yeah.
But I don't think it came out. If it came November, September of last year. It was the biggest piece of shit I'd ever seen or played.
Gears of War board game.
Oh, terrible.
It's pretty bad.
Terrible. Also, another one, Zombicide, is for good game.
Good game. It's like, we were on bad, so I'm
no,
like,
no. Zombicide. No, I was thinking of like X-Wing, Zombicide.
Yeah.
I still think that X-Wing, if Fantasy Flight continues to promote X-Wing and Battles of Westeros, I will be a very happy person. I'm not going to get into X-Wing until I see like how far they're going to promote it, because once they get past like the basic set of ships, I'm going to be like, well, what are we going to do now?
Well, they just released Falcon and Slave One.
Yeah, the Kessel Run set. So it's like...
Also, I count this as more of a miniatures game than a...
The debate rages on.
I feel that games that are more focused on their... very focused on their components rather than... A board game has... For my opinion, a board game is played with, you know, very generic pieces. Yeah. Or... Yeah, it's really rough.
It's a weird borderline.
Like Descent is like a borderline game too.
Descent, they always have. I like expansions for board games, especially ones that I'm really into, because it keeps the game fresh, it keeps it going, and it keeps it in my mind. And then as long as they can maintain a good level with it, like a level of quality, it should be good.
Best miniatures product of the year.
This is a rough one for me because
there's a lot of cool minis that came out this year.
There's a shit ton of
lot of cool minis.
Yeah. Can I go with a specific range?
Yeah, that's fine. A miniatures product being either company, range, or...
Well, I don't want to go full company. I'm going to say range-wise, I'm going to give it to War Machine with their Colossals and Behemoths. I think it was a really cool concept. They're not gigantic. The prices aren't ridiculous. But all of them that I've seen so far are really cool looking. They fit themes, they fit with the armies fairly well, and they seem to push the game along without being like, this is just something we're throwing out there and hoping to make more money off of.
I agree.
It fits the game, fits the storyline. The models are really cool. The models, apparently, though, I've heard that they're kind of a bitch to put together.
I'd say that would depend on your faction.
Your faction. They started showing the behemoths. They just debuted... what's the Archangel?
Yeah, that thing looks so badass.
It looks really cool. Cool. So one of the coolest looking dragons I've seen. And the what's the other one that they just showed? I can't remember off the top of my head. But they also just released the one for Mercenaries with the big harpoon and everything.
The Galleon.
Galleon. That one's really cool looking.
That one's release date got delayed, actually.
Oh, okay.
But it'll be out. It looks really cool.
Yeah. All right, Steve, what's your best product?
Best miniatures, I'd have to say Kingdom Death.
Kingdom Death?
Kingdom Death. I would actually, if I had to narrow it down to just a single miniature in Kingdom Death.
It's the Flower Knight.
The Scribe.
The Scribe, really?
The Flower Knight's very old. Scribe is new, released this year.
Oh, yeah.
I think the Scribe is like one of the coolest aesthetics. And not to mention, he has a giant throne made of hands.
He does have a giant throne. That's what I always say. Everything's made of hands.
Yeah. I think the figure conveys a very good, it conveys the setting. It conveys emotion. It's an awesome piece. I think it's incredible. The detail of it. The Kingdom Death Scribe, that is my best miniatures product of the year.
All right. What's your
Privateer Press's Colossals being a close second?
What's your worst?
Worst product.
I'm gonna put a caveat on this. There's a lot of shitty minis that get put out every year by usually like people.
Well, sure.
Yeah. that, like, we're going to talk about, like, more mainstream.
What would I say the
more
worst
mainstream
would be?
Stuff that you're going to see in probably a hobby store.
Hmm. That's tough.
I could go with my worst, which I'll tell you, it's the Hellbrut released with the Dark Vengeance box set for.
Oh, the goofy looking thing?
I love that box set. I think every figure in it is top quality, beautifully sculpted, amazing detail, great to paint, except that god fucking damn Hellbrut.
I saw it at first, it looked kind of cool, but then I saw the back of it, now it's just one solid piece.
It's,
I
was like, eh. The problem is the pose, and that it's got weird horns sticking out of it everywhere. It cannot, unless you are a master painter, not even a master painter, unless you are like, let's say you consistently get a 6.5 to 7 on Cool Mini or not, your paint job on that is going to look like poo.
That's me, 6.7 to 5, or 6.7 to 8.
You don't have an 8.
I did.
What do you have for an 8?
My old Confrontation Goblin stuff.
I barely popped an 8 with my land ship. That's the highest one. I'm going to look this up. I'm going to look you up. I'm going to double check you on this. I'm going to call you out.
Okay.
I'm going to call you out.
I don't remember my Cool Mini or Not name.
I do. It's Cthulhu 84.
That's not accurate. I tried finding my old Cool Mini or Not gallery, and I couldn't find it.
All right. So while I'm doing this, you could go ahead and tell me what your worst of.
All right. Worst of. Let me think. That's rough. It's very rough. I could give it to that one box set from The Hobbit, but that's too easy.
Well, the price range for that one is terrible.
It is a very difficult question, because do I think I like done sculpt and price and playability? What do I think it is? I'm going to go with Dust.
Really?
I'm going to say Dust is the worst of the year, because I think that they mishandled what could have been a very good product.
You know, and I will agree with that to the point that the models all look amazing. And even I will say all the models look really amazing. They're all really beautifully sculpted. The quality of the material is that weird rubbery stuff, so sometimes it can get a little bent out of shape, you know, with if it gets heat applied to it.
I think the figures look cool, and I think it looks like a cool game. I think that they mishandled that game. They made it so the game couldn't make it, basically.
Yeah, I mean, it's like they're purposely trying to sabotage the game.
Yeah.
Now, some stuff that I've heard is that the guy Paolo Parente is not very happy with the way that Dust Warfare is progressing, and as such, they're gonna probably do some revisions to it, which I think is even further sabotaging it, because if you're spending money on these books for that mini game. You don't want to have to get a new edition a year after the first edition was released. It's getting a little ridiculous with it. There's three factions out already. They're going to be putting out a fourth. It's like, you got to make up your fucking mind, Fantasy Flight. Bite the bullet and go with the direction with this game and promote the fuck out of it, because otherwise it's just going to disappear. And it's too good of a game to disappear. Do you agree?
I agree.
All right. Do you see any eights on your page?
This one used to be. It was. I swear. Now it got tanked.
I desperately need to be right, Steve. I think that's going to be the tagline podcast from Don. Game Classy, where we desperately need to be right.
Oh, man. I didn't even remember this account. I tried to find my old pictures, and I couldn't remember what the name was.
I friended you on it.
I can't believe that you remembered my name.
I do, because I friended you, and I go to Cool Mini all the time. I'm trying to improve myself.
Oh, that's right. I made this for when I was selling all this shit on eBay.
Yeah.
How the hell is this thing out of a big... Oh, jeez. I couldn't believe this.
So there you go. You can go to Cool Mini or Not Cthulhu 84 for Steve and just upvote his stuff. Make him feel a little better.
Nah, you can go ahead and downvote it. It's really bad. It's old as shit. The Death Guard got a 6.
Nice. All right. So let's talk about...
I'm going to have to put this to the side because I need to look at this. This is like a trip down memory lane.
All right, so I really want to talk about like the best worst company of the year.
I already gave worst company. It's Mayfair.
Oh, Mayfair. Okay. Yeah. I was like, wow, took it from GW this year.
They took the crown of shit off of GW's head and put it on their own.
I think this year for worst company, I'm going to give it to GW, and this is why. Now, I'm the one who defends GW a lot because Steve just outwardly just like, Games Workshop, it's fucking shit. It's fucking shit. Okay.
You didn't see this, but Joe just threw his hands up in a very comical fashion. It was awesome.
I love Warhammer. I love Warhammer 40K. I find nothing wrong with them in principle. I find nothing wrong with them in execution 90% of the time. Games Workshop consistently works against themselves, kind of much like Fantasy Flight with Dust. Games Workshop does the fucking weirdest ass things that just boggle my mind. And this year, they really screwed the pooch. There was no fantasy releases from May to now. There's still not, there hasn't been a fantasy codex or an army book since then. 40K got a new edition this year, but even in getting the new edition, there really hasn't been anything new for 40K in months, year, and almost a full year. Necrons came out in November of the year before. So from November to November, there was nothing. November to September, there was nothing for 40K. They this whole build-up to The Hobbit, then they released The Hobbit stuff, great box set, but everything else that that's non-plastic is so overly priced, it's not worth even buying. So it's like, what are you trying to do there? It just... Games Day moving to Memphis. It's just thing after thing after thing that this company is doing that just boggles my fucking mind.
Hopefully, eventually they'll kill themselves. They'll die from the death of a thousand cuts of all these other companies coming out with their skirmish minis games, other army games, and that's what's going to break them down. Like I said, I think I said it before, but the thing that will dethrone Games Workshop will not be one company. It will be all of the other miniatures companies tearing apart their carcass.
You know, it could very well be. I just think in terms of. And it's part of the fantasy. Fantasy and 40K have such a large following.
The thing is, the reason that is, as I was going to say, the reason that is not because of their quality. The reason that is because you have people who have a huge investment in that product line. And if you have a huge investment in the product line, it's highly, and that's the Games Workshop sales
tactic. But I don't necessarily. I would disagree with you in 40K, not fantasy. Fantasy, I would agree with you. It's fantasy. People have an investment in fantasy. They want to play with what they got. You know, it's elves and dwarves. Elves and dwarves exist all over every fantasy game. 40K has very unique IP that people like playing with. People get invested with Space Marines. They get invested with Eldar and Tau and Orcs. They like...
I would agree with that. That's probably why 40K is far more popular than fantasy.
It is, and I'm not going to argue. And that people love that. They like the background. They like the history.
However, because they are still so super invested in 40K, the chances of them trying another game are unlikely.
Yeah.
And the other thing, too, is people have the mindset of GW prices. So they go, oh, well, if I try this new game, that's another $600 that I can't, you know, use.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to spend $600 on miniatures. And it's like, no. This is a normal game. You only need to spend, like, hundo tops.
In our area, it's a little rough, too, because there's only, like, two or three other stores where they're playing multiple things. And that,
oh, yeah. It's a workshop town.
It's a workshop.
Chicago Metro. There's a million fucking Games Workshop stores.
Forget about it, Steve. You're in a workshop town.
That's fine. Like I said, I'd rather play nothing than play a baby's game like 40K.
Yes, I know. Actually, it's not. I'm really digging it. I've seen a couple games played. I played a couple games. Sixth edition is not as bad as you say it is. And I'm going to hold. It's not as bad as you think it is.
That's fine. I still won't play. Yeah. I refuse.
I mean, there's a couple things that I'm kind of like, what? This is ridiculous. I got to roll on a table for general stuff. This is bullshit.
That was stupid
as
hell.
Can we skip this? Can we? No? All right. Well, fuck it. Roll. Oh, great. There's something I don't fucking need. Good. Can we go on?
Can we carry on?
I got to buy terrain? What the fuck is this shit?
Yeah, not a fan.
But I'm really enjoying it.
So then what's your best? Is it Fantasy Flight?
You know, it's difficult for me. Because I think there's a couple games that I want, there's a couple things I want to throw a shout out to before I name my best, and maybe I'll just pick out of these the ones that I'm throwing out here. Privateer Press did some great things this year.
So did Reaper.
Reaper's kind of like, you put out generic models in bulk. Okay.
They look cool though. They're nice. Yeah,
that's Eye of the Beholder.
I think a bunch of their sculpts are great.
Privateer Press really went above and beyond with the stuff that they released for Hordes and for Behemoths and Gargantuans. I really enjoyed that.
Then the one thing that Privateer Press definitely has is I'm always consistently impressed by the fact that they refuse to change the way they release their minis.
Yeah.
Like, everybody's getting stuff. Doesn't matter. Like, your army. There's a couple armies that are a little maligned, the mercenaries and the minions for Hordes, but I've been assured.
Maybe you just got a bunch of shit.
I've been assured that they gonna get there. Well, the problem is there's many choices beyond what the... Because the biggest problem with Minions especially, Minions is like, there's pigs and gators. You can't mix them.
You can't so mix you pigs
have,
with gators.
You have two half armies in a half army.
Yeah.
So that's a problem.
So they're quarter armies.
They're quarter armies.
Fantasy Flight always is very consistent. Everything they put out is generally really top quality. But this year, they didn't really put out a lot of stuff at...
They put out a lot of second editions this year.
Yeah, they weren't really innovative this year with a lot of what they were doing.
I think they were mostly focused on Star Wars. They released so much shit for Star Wars.
Yeah, no shit. And then there was Pegasus. Give me my thing. I wrote this down. It was like I had this big speech planned out, big and now speech. I can't fucking remember anything.
That's awesome. The King's speech?
The King's speech. hold on. Dead air. Spartan Games.
Oh, the Dystopian Wars guys.
The people who put out Dystopian Wars, Dystopian Legions, Firestorm Armada, and Uncharted Seas. Their sneaky release with Dystopian Legions this year blew my mind. Because, first of all, the models are metal, which is fucking... What, you don't see metal models in releases anymore like that. Nicely sculpted, very innovative. The rule set's different, but it's still familiar enough where you could play it. Poorly written rule set. We've gone over on this podcast before. Poorly written rules. But the models are just so amazing for a game that gets zero push anywhere else.
Yeah.
So I just
I think the Grognards like it.
What?
I think the Grognards like it.
Grognards really like Dystopian Wars.
That's what's doing it.
Yeah. And plus their Dystopian Wars is getting pushed out, month after month after month. Like twice a month, they put out a huge wave of shit. But that's they could do that because they're very small and it's just resin and they just keep pumping it out. So I can't really give a best of company this year because I think all three of those companies that I named and I've talked about have done an extraordinary jobs, but no one has really gone above and beyond to be a great company, which is a shame because this year was kind of the year of tabletop because so many more people are getting into board games. So many more people are getting into card games. We didn't talk about card games, but...
Oh, best card game is Android Netrunner by far from Fantasy Flight. Worst card game, Magic the Gathering.
There you go. But they say people are
because of the way they handle their product, not the actual game. The game's fun.
I think people are getting tired of video games. They want to go back to playing with people.
I think it's just video games are getting worse.
Yeah, could be very well.
I mean, Call of Duty 60 million Black Ops is not really that awesome for most people.
Call of Duty.
Call of Duty Black Cocks.
Everyone always says Call of Duty Black Cops from...
I like Black Cocks.
I think Call of Duty is from Aqua Teen Hunger Force.
Hey, give me 1,000 hot wings and keep the rage coming. Oh, these hot wings suck.
I don't need no instructions to know how to rock.
Oh man, I got my 4 in the belt. I'm hot blooded. Chuck and C. Yeah, everyone now we're talking.
Everyone knows it's Loverboy, and Loverboy sucks. So yeah, I can't really give it to a best company. I know it's a cop out. But it's just those three companies, I think Spartan Games, Fantasy Flight, and Privateer Press, all did incredibly well, but none of them went above and beyond.
Fair enough.
For me. I don't know. Do you have a best of a company? Or worst of companies? Oh, you already said Mayfair is worse. What's
Mayfair
your best?
Is by far the worst. My best company this year, I'm going to have to... I don't want to give it to Reaper because that seems like a cop-out. I really like their Bones line. I think the thing is, the biggest issue I had with... especially they actually filled... A niche that was it,
niche,
whatever, that was not previously filled, which is a mass, inexpensive fantasy role playing miniatures.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, because you can buy like Mantic. Mantic's got their prices on miniatures are great, for skeletons. Like, I want skeletons, but the problem is you're getting 40 skeletons. That is not useful. For a tabletop role player. It's just not. Like, it's like, what the fuck are we gonna do with 40 skeletons? A big skeleton encounters, 12 maybe, tops. So, bones are so fucking cheap the price, like you can look at the release prices for the bones that exist right now. There's figures that are like ogre size. They're $2.
Yeah,
$2.
They're cheap.
They're super cheap, and that's a niche.
Yeah.
That has never been filled before for role playing games, and I think that's a really awesome thing to do.
Yeah, go with Reaper. Okay, here's my reason why Reaper is not on my list, and they almost go to shit list. Okay, so this year at Gen Con, Speed Painting is sponsored by Reaper. Every year, sponsored by Reaper. I get into 4 speed painting rounds. 4 different companies running it. One of them is Reaper. The other, Privateer Press and everything like that. I place in every one of them. I'm talking like top place, get top prizes all the way through speed painting. Reaper, this gets to the final round. I mean, I make it past my first round. That's fine, whatever. Get to the final round. Get beat by 3 people. Their figures, ass. Ass. I got so...
You're buttered at Reaper.
I got so
robbed.
Screwed by Reaper. You know, it's not even about the prize. Okay, Steve? It's not about the prize.
it's about the prize.
You
wanted that $2 gift card to Starbucks.
Oh, the prize that Reaper always gives out is like a blister. It's like, this is like $5 worth of stuff. I could buy this if I so choose. I almost did. I almost went downstairs and bought it just out of spite. But I said no.
No. No.
And I wouldn't have cared if the figures, like Privateer Press, I came in second in theirs because the guy who won was really fucking good. It was painting a Man of War, and the if everyone was doing it, I was like, well, fuck, I gotta do something different. I did non-metallic metals.
Oh, nice.
Speed painting, Steve.
Nice.
It was all right. I got second.
What did the guy beat you with?
Just standard paint job.
Nice.
But it was a really good one. But the Reaper one, no, terrible figure. Terrible. Terrible. The paint jobs. All 3 of the people who beat me, first, second, third, terrible. Terrible. Il terrible.
That's awesome.
Yes, I am butthurt. You know why I'm butthurt? Because it's terrible model.
Because you were robbed.
I was robbed. I was legit like a cut purse came up from behind me and just cut my purse. He cut my purse, Steve.
That's awesome. And you know what? I bet it was a halfling just to spite you.
No, it wasn't. It was a gnome. What was the figure?
Maybe it was a half gnome, half gnome. No, the cut purse was a halfling.
Oh, yeah, it was a halfling.
And you're like, yeah. I love you guys. And he's running away with your gold.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, but anyway.
I'm in the tower counting my stacks of gold.
Your Reaper figures.
All right, piles of Reaper figures.
That's about it. I don't know if there's anything else that you want to throw a shout out to for this year.
Nothing
to
do with gaming. I'd like to throw a shout out to another podcast, Sorry About Your Life. They're a new podcast. They're from my arch rival on the Game Classy Twitter page. I don't actually know if they have an actual subject matter or topic to their podcast, but the first one I listened to a little bit, and they talked about cocks. Lots of dicks.
Yeah, well, there you go. Well, if you want to listen to a podcast where there's no actual thing behind it, listen to Planet Arbitrary, which is the podcast where nothing happens.
Well, I figured I didn't want to toot your horn anymore. Well,
you know, maybe I like get my horn tooted.
Well, I'll toot your horn someday when you bring me that sweeping field of golden demons.
Sweeping field.
And the sword. Because if you don't win the sword, I'll just be like, oh.
It's not worth it.
Win the sword, dude.
It's like you're like the you're like, it's like 17-1. You don't get it.
You don't get it. 17-1. You didn't get it perfect.
All right.
I'm like an old Nintendo game. Like, you got to do it perfect, because if you don't, your guy dies.
Your guy dies. Yeah, I got nothing else to say. I'm hoping that next year is a better release, because I think, you know, with Will Wheaton's tabletop and everything else.
Will Wheaton. The man who can single-handedly sell more copies of any fucking game, regardless if it's good or not. I was like, oh, Will Wheaton's tabletopping dicks and asses. Looks like I'm going to need a bunch of extra copies. Because people are going to be like, oh, I saw dicks and asses on tabletop, and I've got to have more.
You know, and that's the thing. Is like, why not take advantage of that and put out some really good games?
Well, Will Wheaton has to play them.
Well, that's what I'm saying. But as I'm saying, this is the year of tabletop, and we're not seeing a ton of new cool releases. A lot of re-releases, a lot of, you know.
Supposedly. Privateer Press's next book.
Yeah.
Is going to be huge.
Supposedly.
And supposedly that was like this is all rumor mill stuff, but the rumor is that the reason they did Colossals plus A Warcaster, so very little in terms of volume for figures, the reason they supposedly did this is because the next book that they're working on is going to have so much shit for every army, it's going to be just monumental.
Interesting.
That's the rumor. Like, it's apparently new Warcasters, new units, new jacks for everybody.
Ooh, fun.
With a battle engine and a possible colossal for the minions, which is pretty
interesting.
Big. Just pretty big.
All right, so go to planetarbitrary.com for all your Planet Arbitrary needs. Follow me on Twitter at Planet Arbitrary. You can follow Steve at Game Classy.
I'll be happy to talk to you about dicks.
That's all Steve talks about, dicks.
Or why your game is bad.
Or why your game is bad. That happens. And then you'll, like, as long, if you get deep into it, you just find out that the reason Steve hates all games, Tomb Kings.
It all comes back to the Tomb Kings.
How they screwed them. It's actually funny that you did that. When I was at the bunker, I was talking about, someone was talking about how much they like Tomb Kings, and I'm just like, don't do it, man. It's not worth it. It's not worth
it'll ruin your life.
It'll ruin your life. Like our Facebook page. Steve, you got to get on that Facebook page. You haven't been posting lately on the Facebook.
I post like Kickstarters on there. There's the Facebook's not that active.
It's just not a
lot. I blame our listeners.
You blame our listeners. All right, so go on there, listeners.
I get a few people, some guys, I have some standouts. There's a couple standout guys who are like, they're throwing stuff on the page and they're chit-chatting, yeah. But
gotta get out there. Get on the Facebook page, people. We'll communicate with you. We like to do that.
Yeah, if
the person's an asshole, that's Steve. If the person's trying to be positive, that's usually me.
Yeah, that's true.
Gotta counter Steve.
And sometimes when we're bickering back and forth on the Facebook, Joel put his name Joe and I'll put Steve.
Just like, so we know.
Joe will be like, Joe, Steve smells. And I'll be like, Joe eats dicks.
No, it'll be like, Joe, this will be a problem when people actually start playing this game.
And then mine, Joe, eat dicks. Go back to playing Shit Hammer. Go back to not playing Shit Hammer.
Painting my figures. All right. So, Steve, until next year.
Next year? Really? Is that the deal?
Well, it's going to be our next podcast. Is it until next year?
That's such a long time. I want to know what love is. I want you to show me.
I want to feel what love is.